Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are now listening to the Sitting in the Park show. Today is going to be a special show because we are going to be starting off the show with an interview with members of the Chicago group, the Mystics, the group that did that song, That's the Kind of Love. So I have two members of the group up here in the studio right now. Who will be telling their story and will be playing their records. You guys want to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, Rudy Negron, lead singer, lyricist.
And I'm Ted Thomas. I played the guitar and musical director.
Okay, so first of all, what part of Chicago are you guys from?
We're from the Pilsen neighborhood, Bob. We went to school in that area.
So what streets are you guys from?
21st and Walcott, actually, is where the Mystic group was formed.
That was from 19th and Ashland.
Okay. And listeners listening outside of Chicago might not know that the Pilsen neighborhood is mainly a Hispanic neighborhood. Is that right?
That's correct.
Oh, yes.
And most of the members of the Mystics were Hispanic, is that right?
That is correct.
And the Mystics were, you were a vocal group and a band, is that right?
All combined in one, yes.
Okay. So let's first talk about how the group formed. Like, was it first a vocal group, first a band? What was the story?
Well, it was, again, a mixed, it was a vocal and musical group all combined in one. We were doing before we became the Mystics, we were doing, I guess you could call it probably rock.
Right, yeah, it was more rock, and then I came in and kind of changed the format.
What had happened was the group wanted to go, part of the group wanted to go more toward rock, and another part wanted to go R&B,
R&B soul,
oldies, classic,
yeah.
Soul.
So what was the original name of the group you're talking about?
At that time, it was called. We were called the Invaders.
Okay, and were you a high school group at that time?
We were all in high school. Yes.
Yeah.
And what school did you guys all go to?
Harrison High School.
Froebel.
Froebel first. Froebel was the freshmen that were headed that lived in the area. You went to Froebel first for your first year of high school. It was only a first year high, and then second, third, and fourth, you went on to Harrison High School, which was on the
California.
In California.
Right.
So we all went to Froebel. It's no longer there, Froebel. It's a big apartment complex.
Condos
or condos.
Yeah.
But that's gone.
So you originally were in a band called the Invaders.
Yes.
And you never cut a record as the Invaders. You were just a band of high school kids that played.
Just a high school, local neighborhood band, yes.
And you were saying that there was a dispute, like whether to play rock music or R&B music. And somehow Rudy got involved with your group. How did you find him?
You wanna
well, one of Ted's friends, Cheerful Joe, came to Ted and said, "You got to hear this kid sing." And Ted was like, "Well, yeah, but we got a lead vocalist already." And he goes, "Oh, this guy will paint rings around him." I'm not tooting my own horn. But that's what actually happened. So they brought me in, and I was more into the soul music, even though I did know a couple of songs from the Young Rascals and stuff like that, which we did do, Danny Melton. and I started singing songs like with the Delphonics, you know, but that was my kind of music.
So how did you get into singing, and how did you get into sort of soul harmony?
Well, what started was they let me sing a couple of the soul songs while they did the rock songs, and then the people that heard the music were like, "Well, no, you guys sound better with the soul, because it was more harmonizing, and it wasn't like a one-man show. Everybody was involved."
But we were just talking about how you joined the group and you already were a singer. How did you get into singing in the first place? Is just something you did?
It's real funny. The way I started singing was when I was 5 years old, my aunt used to give me a nickel to sing Dream, Dream, Dream. And all I knew was, I'm getting a nickel to go buy some candy at the corner. So I would sing Dream, Dream, Dream. They would laugh and give me a nickel, and I would run and go buy my candy. So actually, they started me in singing. And I loved all that. I remember the lyrics of all the old songs, like Dream, 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 and oh, God, what was there? Buddy Holly.
Okay.
I mean, there was a lot of the old guys, Rock Around the Clock. I knew all the lyrics already by the time I was 9, 10 years old. So I was practicing.
So you were always into R&B music then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my Uncle Angelo, he always had his little 45s, and me and my brother would just play them until we grooved them out.
and in your community, since it was a Hispanic community, were people really into Latin music, too? Were you ever into that?
Oh, yeah, they were. There was a lot of Latin, but you know what? I was more into the soul.
Yeah, but
okay.
La Bamba, I remember. But I guess everybody knew that song, you know. But that's about the only Spanish song I sang, but everybody was not into, even, you know, most of the guys at our age or even older are more into the soul, you know, Delphonics, Smokey Robinson, Temptations.
Okay.
And that's what we played because that's where we got the recognition from.
So those were the types of groups that inspired you?
Oh, definitely, most definitely.
And specifically singing harmony, was it the first time you did it with the Mystics, or did you ever sing with other guys before?
Well, I did have this young group because, like I said, I started writing songs when I was real young. And I had this group with an old friend of mine, James. And we had a drummer, him, and a bass player, and I. And we were like a basement group. And we did do some harmonies and stuff like that. But the thing was is that he had stage fright, so he couldn't play in front of people.
So was that around the same time as the
Invaders? That was like about maybe 5 years earlier.
Oh, did you have a name for your group?
Oh, no. We were just playing in the basement. Just the basement band. I think Rocky and the Rebels was something else in eighth grade.
Okay. And then one final question about that is, in your high school, like, the stories of a lot of groups I talk to, you know, their high school, there were a million vocal groups. They'd be singing in the lunchroom, stuff like that. And but they were mostly black high schools. Was it similar in your school?
Oh, very much.
Everyone
so.
Was singing.
Yeah, everybody. Okay. We used to do that a lot on the corner.
Yes.
Remember, after rehearsal, we'd go out, we'd have a couple of beers, sit on the corner till 2, 3 in the morning, do whopping, hip hop. Not hip hop, but do whopping. But you know, to us it was like gay, and you know.
Okay.
So we did do a lot of that, yeah.
So you joined the Invaders at that point, and you started doing shows, is that right?
Right at the point when, after Rudy joined, we decided that it's time for a name change.
Okay.
And that's when we...
And some of the Invaders left, the ones who wanted to play rock.
Yes,
left
that's when it, all that happened at one time. The name got changed. People wanted... there was... not warring going on, but like I said, a faction that wanted to lean more toward rock, and then the faction that wanted to go toward R&B and stuff like that, and that's when the change took place, and it was almost instantaneously.
Right, it was like from 1 week to the next, they weren't there, and we were.
And
they joined their own group in another place and started their own rehearsal. They took the drummer... who else did they have?
The keyboard, Phil.
Yeah.
So did you come up with a new name right after that?
Danny came up with the name Mystics.
Yes, the Mystics. We were tossing names around, and what should we do? Because the Invader just wasn't there anymore.
Okay.
It didn't fit what we were
format was not rock like Invader, so it had to be more... like a soul name.
Like a smooth,
Mystic.
A smooth
yeah,
name.
Real, yeah, real, real smooth. Like, yeah. So the Mystics came up, and we said, yeah, that's it.
So what year were you in high school when you joined the group?
I think it was 67. 67,
yeah.
68.
So you were probably in your sophomore, freshman maybe?
And my freshman,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So and so the Mystics, that was like the first lineup of the group then.
Exactly.
So you are, originally when you formed, you were a band with vocalists.
Yes.
So Rudy was the lead vocalist.
Yes, he was.
Were there any other vocalists in the group?
The other vocalist, he had left with the rock portion. That
But Danny Mellon stuck around with us for a little bit, but then he went somewhere else.
Yeah, he didn't join like the direction group we were headed either. So Rudy became the sole
lead singer. Yeah.
Okay. Lead singer. And then who else was in the band? Do you remember the names of the band members?
There was
Joe Cheerful.
Yes, Joe. He played drums. There was Cheerful. He played bass. There was
George Scoopian.
George Scoopian. He had those tapes I showed you that made
George
at Brown Bear Studios.
He played rhythm.
Formed Brown Bear Studios. He was our rhythm guitar player. So we had another guitarist in there also. That's right.
And then background singing.
So you had like two guitarists, a bass, and a drummer.
But there were three guitarists: lead, rhythm, bass.
Okay.
And we all sang background, but he was the lead singer. We backed him up.
Then John Cepeda.
Okay.
He was the other lead singer. He also played saxophone. I don't know if anybody knows it, but Rudy also played trumpet.
Okay.
Until
we built up our brass section.
And then they said, just concentrate on lead singing, you know, because it was kind of hard going.
So when your group formed, did you start doing shows? What was it?
Well, see, let me say one thing. During that time, there was nothing but bands all around the Pilsen area.
Okay.
You had the Junior Casanovas. You had the Executives. You had the... there was like 10, 15 different bands.
Okay.
So we were always... we always were in, battles, but not physical, but band battles.
So were there like, events, like the Battle of the Bands?
Yes, we can tell you some great times.
Okay. I don't think we lost one, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I'm not trying to...
When we first came out, it was on 18th and Racine or Union was. Remember that they had that Battle of the Bands
at Union Hall.
Union Hall.
Union Hall, yes.
Okay.
I remember now.
It was on Racine and 18th Street, and there was us for Brothers Only from the North Side, and there was who else was there?
Was it Respect or
Junior Casanovas? Junior Casanovas, because Gregory was there.
Yes.
Junior Casanovas. There's three. Now the Junior Casanovas were like the top on the Pilsen area. For Brothers Only was the top on the North Side.
Okay.
And we were like the newcomers, okay?
Okay.
So what happened was, they played, everybody loved them. The Casanovas played, everybody loved them.
This is free, that's the kind of...
And then we played, but then we had the whole brass section. We had the people from the North Side. So this is our first show. It was snowing outside, and we were playing. And the people were like, well, wow. So this is the first time that we came out with That's the Kind of Love.
It wasn't
so
yet as a record.
As we were playing, all of a sudden, somebody was shooting in the background. All of a sudden, you hear gunshots. And everybody looks at me, and I said, keep playing, keep playing. And they're looking at me, and they're playing. I said, just keep playing. And I didn't stop singing. And do you know that we got a standing ovation? They got the guy. They beat the living... out of him. And we got a standing ovation, and that's when everybody recognized the Mystics right here.
That was our first coming out.
It was fantastic. We won the Battle of the Bands.
Okay.
And everybody showed respect. Now, the Mystics are on the scene. We got to watch out for these guys. So all of the other bands heard about us now because of this big show. And that was the first time that we really made an imprint that, you know, we were a band to be reckoned with. You know, up there with all these other great guys, you know, and they had some fantastic groups at that time.
So actually, let's talk about how did you get, you just said you had a brass section.
Oh, yeah.
So how did you get a brass section?
At that time, that's when we, in order to do the type of music that we wanted to do, we needed brass.
Okay.
And Cheerful, the bass player, his brother was a manager actually, he was married to one of the guys that was in the group up on the north side of Chicago.
Sister, yeah.
They were called the Flaming Souls.
Okay.
And that point, we, like I mentioned earlier, we had lost part of our group, and we needed replacements.
Okay.
So he suggested that, why don't we go and check these guys out and see if we can hook up. So we went. We went to one of their practices.
Right.
And...
we like what we heard.
They liked what they heard when we did some stuff with them, and We joined forces, and they had a good big brass section. They had a keyboard player. They had just the type of people that we needed. And we joined forces with them, and the name of their group was the Flaming Souls, and we had the Mystics.
Okay.
And what we did was we agreed upon, well, we're not going to be all Mystics, and we told them, that's what they said, and we told them, well, we're not going to be all Flaming Souls, so we said, well, why don't we combine the names?
Okay.
And what we came up with was the Soul Mystics. We dropped the Flaming on theirs, and we combined the Soul with ours, and we became the Soul Mystics.
For about a month.
Yeah, that lasted for about a month, and then we, you know.
It just dropped the soul.
Yeah, we dropped the soul
that,
part.
That smooth, you know. Okay.
Like you said earlier, right, it didn't fit us that good. So, and they all agreed, too, once they worked with us and we all became one.
So how long were you guys together before you did that talent show you were talking about?
God, we were like together like maybe 3 months.
Three, four months.
Where did you guys practice?
Up on the north side.
Yeah. Well, initially we were at my house on 21st and Walcott.
Okay.
And then when we joined forces with the Flaming Souls, we relocated up onto the north side on North Avenue in Washtenaw.
Right.
Was it?
North
yeah,
Avenue,
Washtenaw.
That was
our keyboard players' basement.
But see, there's
Joey Rosari.
There's a big difference, though. The thing was is that sometimes they would rehearse up on the north side with the brass.
Okay.
And we would rehearse on the south side with the background singing and the vocals.
Okay.
So we would have separate, and then we would get together combine it.
Yes.
And that's...
On our off practice.
Right. And and we used to rehearse. I mean, we were serious about this.
Okay.
Because we knew we had a sound. People liked it. They enjoyed it. And they said, man, you guys are going somewhere. So we knew we had to put our effort in there, right, put that little extra effort in there to make something out of it.
Okay, so we've been talking for a while. I think I'm going to play the record now.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about how you ended up cutting a record and what the story was. So this is The Mystics, was probably one of the best sweet soul records to come out of Chicago. That's the Kind of Love.
Baby,
Okay, you're tuned to WHBK 88.5 FM in Chicago. If you're just tuning in, we're in the middle of an interview with the Mystics, who sang that song. I just played the song called That's the Kind of Love. So we were just talking about how the band totally formed and how you were two bands sort of joined together. And that was actually an original song that you guys wrote.
Yes, correct.
And you guys actually, so you had done the song even before you recorded it. Like,
yeah.
you didn't write it for the recording session.
No.
You had that song already.
It was already, yeah, on paper.
And did you have a lot of originals, or what type of stuff did you do with your shows?
Well, we did have a few more originals, but they never came to
They never got recorded, or they never were finished.
Didn't get it finished by the time that everybody started going off. The ones that got finished were this one, That's the Kind of Love, and there was another one that we had that was really nice, man.
I'll Never Forget You.
Never Forget You became a record.
Yes.
The other one. Do you remember it?
No.
But it was just like That's the Kind of Love. It had the 3-part harmony thing. And I forgot the name. Don't you have it on tape?
You do have it on tape from a practice session, yes.
Uh-huh. And it was
beautiful.
So you have it from a session in the 60s?
Yes, I do.
That would be awesome to hear.
I will bring that to you. I forgot about that.
Well, we got our original, even though they were cover songs, from, what was the recording studio we did? Ferry Across the Mercy.
Oh, that was at Laddie's recording studio.
Laddie's recording studio. And that was in like 67, 68?
Yes, that was before That's the Kind of Love.
Yeah.
It'd be cool
to hear any of that stuff.
They came out good. Even Laddie was surprised.
Yes,
you know?
He was. We did those for demo purposes, just for our own.
Right, to see if we did have enough talent to make it.
So,
you know,
singing on the record, who were the vocalists on that record?
On the Ferry Across the Mercy?
No, on the That's the Kind of Love.
Oh, That's the Kind of Love. Rudy was the lead singer, and myself, and John Zepeda, we did the backgrounders. There were just us three guys.
Okay, yeah, because it's very full-sounding harmony, but it's actually three guys.
Right.
Rudy did a good job, but...
everybody did a great job, you know.
And playing on the record is actually the band, is that right?
Exactly.
Because most people I interviewed, there were vocal groups and there was some studio musicians and stuff, but there's no studio musicians at
all.
All
the Mystics, yeah.
All the Mystics, yes.
The original 13 guys.
Okay.
And we only did two takes.
Okay.
Two takes. That's all it was for the vocals.
Everybody was nervous first time in the studio.
What studio did you record it at?
Universal.
Yes, on Michigan Avenue, Universal Studios.
And what was the the group? You had three vocalists and you had two guitarists and one bassist. Is that right?
That's correct.
And what were the horn sections? How many horns did you have?
Five.
We had five piece brass.
Right.
Okay.
Five section. We had
two trumpets.
Alto,
and a soprano.
Yes.
Okay.
And a trombone.
Okay.
So it was a full sound.
So what's the story? The record got, how'd you end up with a record deal where you ended up recording? I know the record label was called Tico Records.
Yeah.
Did a guy like see you at a show? Like, how'd you end up on a record label?
Okay, it's strange. We were rehearsing up on the north side one day. In the basement of Joe Horse.
He was our keyboard player.
And were doing That's the Kind of Love. And all of a sudden, some guy was knocking on the window, and we didn't know what was going on.
Okay.
So as soon as we finished playing it, we finally came to the door, and we opened the door, and there's this gentleman named Ed O'Kelly. And he said, "Hey, guys, is that original?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "You guys got a fantastic sound. How would you like to record a record?" And we were like, "Okay, wait a second." I mean, it just came from nowhere.
Yeah.
And we were like, "Wait a second." He goes, "I'm serious, you know. Here's my card. And give me a call. And I'd like to speak with..." He spoke with me. He spoke with Ted. And one of the guys, I think it was Alfie that came with us. Yeah, from the north side. So we went to go see him, we sat down, we spoke, and he goes, you know, he wanted us to do our song, but wanted us to do also one of his performers or his lyricist's song.
Okay.
And that's how they came to the other side, which was I really love you.
Okay.
So we did that. We said, sure, fine.
Did you have to sign a contract with him?
Well, we didn't sign the contract until we were at the recording studio.
Okay.
You know, so we didn't know what was going on. We were young. We were, you know,
I didn't have much time to run by a lawyer.
Yeah.
Right. we didn't know anything about this, you know. So we did our shows like two months later. Finally, you know, we had everything, the lyrics, the music, everything was already written on paper, and we went to the recording studio without a contract yet.
Okay.
So when we went, and we did do the first take, and that was after all the music was down and everything, you know, when the lyrics came up, or the singers came, and I did the lead vocal, and the background was already down, the people at Universal said, you got a hit on your hands.
Okay.
And the next thing I know is all of a sudden these contracts are coming out of nowhere, and we were kind of like, forced to sign it right then and there because he said, oh, you got to sign them today. And I was like, well, can't we just, you know, let somebody else see this? No, no, it's got to be done so we can get the record out right away. And, you know, we didn't know.
The youngest guy was 15. The oldest was 20. In the
right.
So almost all of you were still in high school.
Yeah.
Yes, we were all still in high school.
And we were still in high school. Yes. Yeah, we didn't
know. The Northside group, they went to Thule High School, and then us guys, we were at Harrison High School. So we were all in high school.
Okay, and so the record actually came out, so it was cut in like 69, something like
that? It was in the winter of 69, and it was released in the summer of 70. I still remember.
So it took him 6 months to release it after you cut it?
To print and everything, to get, I guess, all the copyrights all together and everything.
And did it get, it got played in Chicago, right?
Oh, it got a lot of
Chicago.
We made it to number 11.
Yeah.
on WVON's charts?
On VON and JPC, was it? Or...
I think there was
GCI.
No, it was before. It was GCI. It was
JPC. Yeah, I think it was JPC.
It was
JPC, right?
Yes. Then they changed to GCI.
And we had great reviews, and we were too hot to handle.
Too hot to hold.
Too hot to hold.
The designation.
Right.
You say on the chart they featured your song as too hot to hold.
Yes, they had different sayings at the bottom, and that was one of them.
Yeah, Ted still got the little chart thing. Well, we made it to number 11,
yes.
So you know,
nice.
It's
souvenir.
so you remember hearing it on the radio when
it
came?
Oh God, it was fantastic.
I remember the first time I heard it. I was just pulling up to front of John's house. He lived on 18th Place there across from, what school was that?
It's a great school. I don't remember.
And,
but yeah.
I had the radio on. I was just pulling up to pick up John. I think we were going to practice or something. And I heard, was the DJ at the time?
I think it was McGee.
It might have been, yeah.
Yeah, it was McGee. Because I know Herb Kent played it, McGee, Richard Steele.
Yes.
All the old guys.
Anyway, McGee said, here's the newest song, a hot group out of Chicago called the Mystics, and here's their song, That's the Kind of Love. And when I heard the brass section come on, the drum roll and the brass section, I just honked the horn and I yelled up to John. I said, John, turn your radio on. He said, no, I already know, I know. And he had his blasting too.
And he opened the window and it was like stereo.
Yeah, it was nice. Good feeling.
It was a fantastic feeling. I mean, there's no drug in the world that'll ever get you that high.
So let me play the other side of the record. So we were just talking about it. The song was originally written by Robert Newsom, who I think he was a member of the Vontastics, and he redid the song himself, and there was another version too. But you said you never met him, that the song was just brought to you.
Right, and I didn't like the lyrics, so
and
in 15 minutes I did the whole song at the studio.
Okay.
I rewrote it with these lyrics.
So the melody...
But I gave him the credit because I didn't want to go through a bunch of them.
So the melody was there, and you reworked the lyrics.
I redid everything on the lyrics.
Okay, and
none of his lyrics are on there.
So let me play your version of the song, "I Really Love You," and then we'll talk some more.
I'm so weak.
Okay, that was just the Mystics with a nice funky psychedelic kind of song called I Really Love You, which was the B-side of their hit That's the Kind of Love. And you were telling me earlier that the label owner wanted that to be the A-side or something like that?
No, he made that the A-side. That's the Kind of Love became the B-side.
But the DJs played That's the Kind of Love on the radio.
Right. That was the song that was recognized.
Yeah.
Everybody on the radio station played That's the Kind of Love, you know. I think it was
the producer's intentions to initially
push the song.
Push that, I Really Love You.
Okay.
Yes.
And
the public decided otherwise.
Right.
So that record got played, and did you start doing more shows, or what happened when that record played?
Do you
like celebrities?
Oh, definitely.
You
know what?
Way, but,
infamy. We were infamous. Yeah, we did a lot more shows, a lot more colleges.
Okay.
You know, we we did DePaul.
Okay.
DePaul University.
We still did, there were Latin gigs that we did too, quinceañeras when it was 15.
Yeah.
Weddings, Spanish weddings.
Oh, yeah. We were booked like every weekend.
Because like you said, that was a mainly Hispanic area. And not only that area, but we played...
all over. North Side. We played the Southern Illinois University.
Yes.
We played DePaul. We played U of I. We did
Aragon
a lot of
Ballroom.
College. And Aragon Ballroom. We did the Aragon with... we did what is that big group?
New York.
Los. El Gran Combo.
Yes.
Okay.
El Gran Combo. Yes, I remember. We did it. We did a show with them at the Aragon. Yeah.
So when your song was on the radio, a lot of people thought you guys were a black group, though, right?
Like oh,
people,
yeah.
When they
heard
the record,
they
didn't know.
A few people did say, "Oh no, they're brothers," which we are. I mean, I don't look at it as color, and because we had the soul in it, but a few brothers said, "No, they're black," and then when they came and see us, I said, "Oh, yeah, you're right." But don't forget, I'm Puerto Rican now, so
yeah,
I have black.
True.
I do have black.
So were people ever surprised at your shows to see that you were the guys doing that song?
Sometimes.
I would think so,
yeah.
Yes. I mean, they respected us for what we did and the sound we had. And,
okay.
I don't think color was ever an issue with us. We had no problem with
it. Yeah, we
and
never
what,
had a problem.
What were your shows like? Like you had that song which was funkier, and then you had ballads. When you did a show, what types of songs would you do? What were the lineups?
Santana to
oldies.
Chicago.
We did a lot.
So you did
of
rock.
Chicago.
You did rock because you had horns.
We did some rock.
We did some rock.
There were places we played that. Wanted to hear that kind of music, and so we had to, you know, we had
depended
to
on your venue. You're saying
right? Yeah,
depending on where we played like Amundsen High School. We played more rock.
Okay. Right up on the far north side, yes. And then when we play on the south side, we play more soul. Because we had a large repertoire of music. I mean, okay. We had over 80, 90 songs memorized, so we would switch, you know.
And did you ever do any Latin music at any of the Latin venues?
Ba-la-la-ba-la-la-ba-ba.
Yeah, we did a lot of Santana stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
A lot of Santana. Mala. Oh, yeah, Santana. Mala. Okay. Oh, yeah, yes. We used to do Mala real good.
So you cut that record, and then did you ever end up cutting any more material at the same session or later in the 60s?
We had the contract that we were supposed to fulfill. And
it was far out of reach.
Yeah, so we never...
The contract which we signed, we didn't understand it at the time we signed it, but we were kind of like forced to sign it. What it was, it stipulated that all 13 members had to stay in the band for 5 years before we collect one penny.
Okay.
Which is unheard of, but we didn't know.
Okay.
You know, all we knew is that we recorded a record and we got to sign this contract.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, they pulled the wool over our eyes.
But we were working on other original material.
Right.
It just never got recorded.
Yes.
Right.
So, and the group broke up shortly after that? Like, what happened?
The brass, some of the brass went to New York, like, Alfie started a Latin group up in New York.
They wanted to get into salsa.
Right, okay. They were more into the salsa thing. Ted and I stuck together, so we kept the Mystics going, oh, God, till 85, 86.
Some of you went to the service, is it?
Yeah, I got drafted. Okay. Mr. Nixon got me.
Okay.
My number came up. And,
but the thing was, it came up when we came out with That's the Kind of Love, which was a big bummer.
So it was bad timing.
It was bad timing.
Terrible timing. You know, so we really missed his leadership because, I mean, Ted, he ran all of the music down to the note. I mean, he did everything, the bass, the brass, the guitars, the keyboards, and I took care of all the vocals, the backgrounds, harmonies, you know,
okay.
The lyrics.
So you guys never recorded anything in the 70s, is that right? And musically, you guys, did you ever still just play by yourselves in the 70s ever?
Yeah, we still played together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, once he got out of the service, we did the Mystics again, and we did some shows. People remembered us, and we did have a pretty good, you know,
coming out. And then in the 80s, you kind of reformed and actually re-recorded, is that right?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Ted was in there for a little bit, and then, you know, his job kind of took him away from it. So, but my cousin Angel and I got together, and we did I'll Never Forget You.
You guys did a whole album.
We did a whole album, right. And they were all original.
And you redid the song, That's the Kind of Love.
And we redid That's the Kind of Love, made it longer, and I spoke a little bit on it. Maybe the next time we sit down again, I'll bring the CD, and you could hear it. Or
yeah, I have the remade version of That's the Kind of Love, which
oh,
I can play with
it?
Me. Yeah.
Oh, great.
And then the B-side was called Jackie's Song.
Right, that's Angel, my cousin.
Okay.
He's now in Florida.
what's his last name?
Angel Torres.
So it was sort of like a different lineup of the group in the 80s, but you were still singing lead.
Oh, yes. I always sang lead for the Mystics.
And in the 80s, you released the record just as Mystic with no S.
Right.
Okay. Just to change it up a little bit.
That was a little bit.
Probably because I got dropped off, so he dropped
the S off.
Exactly. That's the reason I did it, was because I was the only original left. So I said Mystic, no S. Ted's not here.
So do you remember the lineup of the 80s group at all?
Let me see. It was myself, Angel Torres, Tony.
Who was singing on the record?
I myself and my cousin Angel and Tony.
So there were three vocalists also.
Yes, I always work with three. Threes is my lucky number.
And then you had a band also.
Right, and then we had a few members that were in and out, you know, that did the recording. We also did hire a couple of studio musicians that were friends of ours.
Okay.
You know, but it was myself, Angel, and Tony that actually were the core of the group.
And it was all original material?
All original,
And it's I know it's very... rare, but you actually released a whole album.
Exactly.
And it came out in 1985, is that right?
1985, yes.
Okay. And what's the story? Did you put it out yourself on your own label?
Yes, we did. Yeah, because, you know...
After getting burnt.
After the first time, I said, no, this time we are going to produce it, record it, write it. We're going to do everything for it. The thing was is that we didn't understand how much money it was going to take to put it out.
Okay.
Okay, so I did have one gentleman, God bless his soul, he's in heaven now. His name is Raleigh Araujo.
Okay.
I said special thanks to him on the album.
Okay.
He gave me $5,000, and I used all that money for the recording, for the pictures, for everything, for the printing. I mean... we stretched that money as this far, as thin as we could, but he made it happen. If it wasn't for his intake, you know, for his input on it, that album never would have been made.
Okay, well, let me play your remade version of That's the Kind of Love, and we could talk some more.
Okay.
So this is the Mystic with their version from 1985 of That's the Kind of Love. Okay, that was just Mystic with That's the Kind of Love, the remake of their own record that they did in 1985. And we were just talking off air that the version on the album is actually a longer version of the song.
Yes, it is, yes.
So you not only pressed an LP, you pressed a 45.
Exactly.
So the label was ART, A-R-T. What did that stand for?
Angel Rudy Tony Productions.
Okay.
A-R-T.
And what did you intend for the album? Like, did you think you were going to get radio play with the remake of the song, or what did you intend for the...
Well, what we wanted to do was first put out the album, make sure the material was there, which is really good. There's a lot of good mixture. There's Latin rock in there. We have progressive jazz. We kind of touched on every kind of music that we knew and we understood.
Okay.
You know, and put it on there. And they're all originals. There's no cover songs or nothing. You know, myself and my cousin Angel wrote most of the songs.
Okay.
Well, we wrote all the songs, actually. And what we wanted to do was actually just get the album up and out and then maybe present it and see if we could get airplay. But then we found out that it's a lot harder now than it was in 19.
Yeah, it's all centrally controlled.
Exactly, yeah. Right. To be an independent, you needed a lot more money and you had to schmooze a lot more people. And,
yeah.
You know, wine and dine, and we just didn't have it.
So how did you distribute and sell the album? Just people you knew?
Yeah, right. All we did was just basically the people we knew. And we knew that sooner or later, if somebody would hear that album and hear the music on it, they would say, hey, this is a good album, you know, maybe we should take it a next step forward and see what would happen.
Unfortunately, there's so much lost music where people, just great music that people pressed but didn't have the money to distribute.
Exactly, yeah.
So how many copies did you press of the album, do you remember?
I think there was about 300 copies that we pressed, and they sold pretty well.
Okay.
You know, basically at our dances where we played, and, you know, people that came up to the... Oh, yeah, I'd like to buy a couple. Plus, I gave a couple of boxes away to the producer, the person who produced the money to make it. He got a box and his family, and they loved it, you know.
Okay.
You know.
So one more thing I wanted to ask about is you cut, or at least you sing on another record that came out around 1988,
yeah.
And the group was called Second Chance, and the track was I Wish You Were Here, and if you listen to the record, it's clearly you singing.
Yeah.
So what's the story? Who were the Second Chance?
Well, see, okay, this is the story in that a friend of mine, he and his wife were having a hard time, and he asked me to write a song, you know, for his wife, you know, for her, to her, from him. And I said, okay. And so I wrote the song, and the next thing I know, he wanted to take it to the studio and record it. And he asked me, and I said, all right. And he kind of talked his way into saying, like, he sang the song. And, you know, I didn't know he was doing this until somebody said, hey, Ruben said he sings that song. And I looked, and I was like, what? And then I went to one of the taverns on 18th Street, and they go, hey, Ruben, isn't this your song? And they started snickering because I was there. And Ruben was like, yeah. Hey, Rudy, let's get out of here. I said, no, I want to hear your song. So he kind of put his head down. They played, and they kind of laughed at him. And they go, that's Rudy, man. Well, he goes, all right, guys, leave me alone. You know, that was a song for my wife, and he sang it. He goes, yeah, but why did you say you sang? I says, well, hey, you know, sometimes somebody likes to get a build-up. I mean, you know. He did sing a little background on it, you know, but...
So it wasn't... It was essentially a studio group, though, where he just...
Right, yeah.
So it wasn't like
a... basically a studio group, and I wrote them lyrics, and I sang lead vocals for it.
And one other thing I wanted to ask about... Sorry, I meant to ask this about the Mystic record. As you said, your cousin... what was
Angel.
Angel's last name is Torres, is that...
Right.
He sang with you on the record. Did he ever sing in any other groups, or was this his first time singing too?
Well, he did his own mixes and stuff like that because he had his own little studio in his basement and stuff like that, but it never really... He's a terrific songwriter.
So that was the first time he ended up recording, though,
right.
With your...
Yeah, with us as far as for the album and the 45 was concerned, yes.
Okay, well, let me play this Second Chance record, and then we can talk a little bit more.
Okay.
So,
song, Ruben.
This is Second Chance with I Wish You Were Here. I think I messed up and I brought the instrumental side here, so you won't be able to hear who really sings on the record anyway, so it'll be a mystery.
I love it. But we'll keep it a mystery till the next time.
But I have to, I recorded this for you, actually, and now I have to, I'm basically giving you an instrumental, so I'll get you a new recording of this.
That's fine. That's no problem.
So was that the last time you ever recorded anything?
Yes, I believe it was the last time I did any recording as far as, you know, professional. I still write music, though, you know, I still write songs now.
And, you have, so what are some of the group members doing now? Did anyone else continue to be involved with music, or just what happened to some of the original people?
Myself, I guess you could say I'm retired. I haven't
played. He's never retired. He's never retired.
I taught my sons how to play. They're pretty good musicians.
So they play guitar too?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
John, I don't think he's doing anything now musically.
He's driving a truck for some company, I don't imagine.
Yeah, we're planning on looking him up, though. We wanted to look him up before we came here and hope to have him here, but it's kind of hard to get a hold of. But,
okay.
And who else? Like you said, Alfie, I believe
he's in New York.
New York doing salsa work.
Angel's in Florida. Yeah. He's doing his own stuff over there.
Okay.
In Florida. Israel is, I believe, he's a teacher at Malcolm X College, teaching music as far as, progressive jazz. This guy was a fantastic bass player.
Okay.
You know. Lorenzo, I have no idea what he's doing.
Do you guys ever do reunion type shows?
I'm planning that for next year.
Okay. We've been talking about it.
Yeah, yes. We're talking about it. Like I told you off the air that I needed the name of that gentleman. And
So you want to get together and do more shows?
Definitely. Yes, I would love to do that.
Okay.
You know.
You also, the way I found you was a listener emailed me your MySpace page. So
I'm on there.
So people could look for the Mystics MySpace.
It's called Chicago's Very Own Mystics.com at MySpace, and you'll see me there.
You can listen to that kind of love all you want. There's
I'll never forget you.
And there's some photos of the 80s version of
our album cover and everything. And if you'd like to be a friend, just sign on, and I'd be more than happy to accept it.
So I got to say thanks so much, you guys, for coming on down.
It was great. I enjoyed it. It brought back a lot of memories.
Do you have any last words for the audience?
Well, the one thing I got to say is that if you feel it in your heart, keep it going because it belongs to you. I mean, you know what? Don't ever let somebody tell you you ain't got it, because I was told that a lot when I was young, and, you know, I made it this far. Who knows? Who knows what'll happen after this? But, you know, never give up. Just keep going.
Okay, well, thanks again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.